Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the upcoming legislative session in Washington, D.C. look like? Let's go in-depth with Congressman Dave Loebsack. So, Dave, what brings you to Knoxville?
Well, I visited Habitat for Humanity. We were supposed to be having votes in Washington, D.C. this week, but because of the death of President Bush, the votes were canceled. So I'm getting around the district after the election. Took a little bit of time to myself. Visited troops, actually, in Germany and in Kuwait, and then celebrated Thanksgiving. And now I'm back at it, getting around my district as much as I possibly can, as I always do, as you know.
When you visit troops overseas, do you really engage with them? I mean, do you get the sense of their mood, how they're feeling, or is it just all so, you know, pretty much formal?
No, that's a great question. You know, look, you're aware that we have children in the military. My stepson and his wife are both active duty Marines. I served on the Armed Services Committee for 8 years. I've done these trips a number of times, over 12 times, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to various places. And I have a lot of opportunities to engage with troops, a lot of National Guard and Reserve here in Iowa, a lot of regular Army and Marines and others as well. So I think I get a pretty good sense just because over the last 12 years, I've gotten a lot of experience talking to these folks. And I think I have the questions that need to be asked. Some of them, certainly, depending on their rank, in some ways, depending on what their role is in the military, you know, they're a little less frank about the issues. But I think for the most part, people I talk to are. And when you see somebody at Landstuhl Regional Medical Center, for example, in Germany, who just went through an explosive device detonation, and I can't even think about how many stitches, you know, he had in his face, and he's in pretty bad shape. He's not going to tell you something isn't true. He's going to tell you how he's feeling. He's going to tell you what's going on, and that's why I do these kinds of trips. Or we had lunch with a number of Guard and Reserve from Pennsylvania. The leader of this delegation is from Pennsylvania. And my wife Terry is with me too, which is really important. We're in Kuwait. She'd never been to Kuwait. And to see the troops there, and many of them have gone up north, as they call it, up into Iraq or up into Syria. And our stepson had been stationed there himself within the last year at Camp Barifjan. They're pretty forthcoming when you're having lunch with them. They tell you what they see and how they feel about it.
What are they saying?
A number of these folks have been deployed a number of times, just like our Guard and Reserve here in Iowa. And there's a weariness about this. There's no question. We've been at war in Afghanistan since 2001, since shortly after 9/11, as you know. And so there's a weariness among these troops. Many of them have been deployed a number of times. And you can hear it in their voices, see it on their faces. But at the same time, they also know that they have a mission. And that mission is to protect America from the terrorists and others who might want to do us harm. And so Afghanistan is far away. We've been at this for a long time. Iraq and Syria as well. Syria primarily, obviously, in that part of the region. But they believe in their mission, and they're going to continue to do what they can, even though they see the cost. They often feel the cost themselves, not only physically, but emotionally and with their families, people they have to leave behind. I think the hardest part for them is that so few people in America are directly connected to what they're doing. You know, under 1%, maybe 1% of the population actually has been in the military over the past several years. And their families do see what's happening, but that's a pretty small percentage of Americans. And I think that's one of the frustrations that I see with these folks.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Congressman Dave Loebsack. Well, it's not only them that are fatigued, it's kind of a fatigue sets in with respect to just the general populace.
That's right.
That we used to pay a lot of attention.
Right.
Now, hardly anybody knows anything
about. And again, you know, the number of casualties is down pretty significantly. When we had a couple of folks who were killed in an IED blast in Ghazni in Afghanistan a couple of weeks back, that made the headlines because not a lot of our troops are actually being killed on a fairly regular basis the way it was the case when we were engaged, you know, pretty intensively for so long. But nonetheless, there are a lot of folks who are, you know, who are injured. There are a number of folks who come back with the invisible wounds, the post-traumatic stress, and those kinds of things. And that's why I do everything I can, you know, not just Veterans Day, as you know, but July 4th, I often come to Knoxville and have forums, you know, with our veterans to hear what we should be doing for them.
For a long time, you were the only Democrat in the House of Representatives. Now you have two young colleagues that are Democrats. How does that feel?
Well, it's a good feeling. I'm very happy they're going to be there. Quite honestly, I think that our fourth representative, Steve King, up in the northwest part of the state, has done anything but distinguish himself, especially in this last election. I think, you know, he's going to have a lot of problems going forward, not just with Democrats, but within his own party as well, here in the state and in the U.S. House. So I think that the three of us are going to get some good things done. I think that the focus in the U.S. House first is going to be on making sure that we expand voting rights, not contract them, that we also have a good ethics package to make sure that members of Congress are held accountable as best we can, and then go from there. Hopefully we're going to then focus on the economy and on jobs, and infrastructure's got to be a big part of what we do going forward. And I really think that we have an opportunity to work with the president. One of my frustrations is that he's very unpredictable. We don't know what he's going to do from month to month, week to week, day to day, sometimes hour to hour. But we have to go into this in good faith, and hopefully he will deal with us, and we'll come to some kind of resolution on the infrastructure package. We'll see. For me, a big part of that has to be rural broadband, too. As you know, I've talked about that a lot and gotten some good things done. But I will say this, that when I went back after the election, the first thing I did the first night that I got back is I went on the Republican side of the aisle. I went into the Republican cloakroom so I could seek out the Republicans, as many as I could that first night. I've been working with on rural broadband, biofuels, number of issues. And I did run into a number of them. And I want to make sure that we continue to do the things that we were doing up to the election. I think we're going to get a precision ag bill as part of the farm bill, and hopefully we're going to get that passed in the next week or two. We'll see, but I think we have a good opportunity to do that.
There's a lot of talk. It was interesting to hear you speak of infrastructure as one of your priorities. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk by people about the House initiating investigation, possibly impeachment proceedings against President Trump. What do you think of that?
Well, look, under Article 1 of the Constitution, we have oversight responsibilities, and we have to exercise those responsibilities. It's clear to me that under the Republican leadership, that function was not being carried out properly. And so that's going to have to happen. But we should not get so far into that process that we lose sight of what the American people want us to do, in addition to making sure we hold this administration accountable, and that's the jobs and the economy issue. I think that has to be our number one issue. I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we can do a number of things as a governing party in the U.S. House. And I think there will be Republicans who are going to want to come on board on some of those other issues. But when it comes to holding the administration accountable, let's just let Mueller finish the investigation. Let's make sure he has the resources, that he's not constrained. I wish the president simply would quit talking about this. I think that would be good for the country. Let him finish this, and then we'll go from there on that front.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Congressman Dave Loebsack. And the trade wars.
Right.
I mean, people are very concerned about the economy, and we don't really know what's going to happen. Billions of dollars have been lost out of rural America. I haven't read the final of the recent Iowa numbers yet, but I read yesterday that Nebraska farmers have already lost $2 billion.
That's right. That's right.
And that's from the Farm Bureau. It's the Farm Bureau reporting that, so it's not liberal organization.
That's right.
The Farm Bureau is just reporting their, you know, their numbers.
And look, there's no question that the approach the president's taking has cost jobs, it has cost income, it's cost the economy here in Iowa and throughout rural America, but not just rural America. A lot of folks who, you know, depend on those steel imports are getting hurt big time as well, those who import steel from abroad. I called for the end of the steel tariffs on the Canadians some time ago. And if the new NAFTA does get presented to us, that's still going to be a sticking point because those tariffs have to be removed. And the Canadians have made that very clear. And when it comes to China, I'm not sure, quite honestly, that the president fully understands what he's gotten us into when it comes to China. It's a very complicated relationship. They were bad actor. They're a bad actor. There's no question. They've stolen our intellectual property. They've manipulated their currency. We had to take action. I've not been convinced, I'm still not convinced, that in imposing the kinds of tariffs that the president did on these Chinese goods was the proper way to go, because they did retaliate against us. And we hear from day to day, the story seems to change from day to day, whether, you know, these tariffs are really on pause or not, whether the tariff increases that the president was proposing are on pause or not. The tariffs that were imposed are still there. It's created tremendous instability, a lot of problems, not only in rural America, but in much of industrial America, too.
The counter argument is that something had to be done. This is a start,
right,
and that we have to hope it works.
Now, what happened was, I think he jumped to the last and the most extreme measure that could be imposed on China, and that is those tariffs. I think he should have started by going to the World Trade Organization. They are talking about pulling back and maybe imposing quotas when it comes to steel and aluminum. That's something that I have been in favor of in the past. That could have been a start on this instead of something where you're pulling back now and ultimately creating even more instability. That being said, if they move back to quotas, I think that would make a lot more sense than the tariffs.
You mentioned the new replacement bill for NAFTA with Canada and Mexico. President Trump, they've all signed it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not ratify it?
Well, I haven't read it yet, for one thing, and it's not going to be presented to us this Congress. We only have a couple more weeks in all likelihood of this Congress. It'll be presented to us next year, I think probably at the beginning of the year. I'm going to look it over. I'm going to hear from the different groups who are affected by it. I'll see just how much it does benefit our agricultural sector. I'm very concerned about the industrial sector. I want to make sure that our workers are not going to be negatively affected by this, as I think they were by NAFTA. So there's a long ways to go on this. And again, trade, I've often said, is probably the most complicated issue that I vote on while I'm in Congress, because it can affect so many different people in so many different ways. And I want to understand this particular agreement and in all of its complexities, the good and the bad, what it is that this is going to do to Iowa, for Iowa, maybe against parts of Iowa.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope that we have a good holiday season. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving, and hopefully we'll be able to work things out next year in the coming year.
Thanks to Congressman Dave Loebsack for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard, bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com. On demand or for download, just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.